So the scripture that I'm going to read for you this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 13, and I read from the Common English Bible. Nobody should deceive you with stupid ideas. God's anger comes down on those who are disobedient because of this kind of thing. You shouldn't have anything to do with them. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of light. Light produces fruit that consists of every sort of goodness, justice, and truth. Therefore, test everything to see what is pleasing to the Lord. And don't participate in the unfruitful actions of darkness. Instead, you should reveal the truth about them. It's embarrassing to even talk about what certain persons do in secret. But everything exposed to the light is revealed by the light. Everything that is revealed by the light is light. Therefore, it says, wake up, sleeper, get up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please hear God. So I mentioned to you that on every Wednesday during Lent in Butler, the members of the Ministerial Alliance get together and hold Lenten services. And it's been a really neat thing. And there are five churches that host these services. And generally speaking, the pastor of each church doesn't speak in their own. We made an exception for Pastor Greg this year because he wears too many hats and he needs to be able to leave. And some of his parishioners sometimes need people to fill in for him. Can you imagine that happening? Oh, sorry, Fran, I gotta go and read the rest of the sermon. I mean, tag, you're it. And so he was given the exception. And so the week that I preached at the Nazarene Church. And the message that week was meant to be light. Because this season of Lent, it can be kind of hard. It's kind of meant to be sort of hard. And so I wanted to do something a little lighthearted. And I enjoyed it, and I thought the people enjoyed it, and so I kind of reworked that message from then. And you're not actually hearing the message I preached at Ohio Street today. You're hearing an adjusted version of the one that I shared at our Lenten service a few weeks ago. And the week before, Greg had preached, and he started with our theme, which was a whole group effort. Before we got started, Jeremy asked, what would be a good theme? So our theme for this whole series of Lenten services has been from darkness to light. And so Pastor Greg kicked it off, and I had to borrow the opening line to his message, to his scripture, in using it for my own message because, well, you'll see in a few minutes. But his was, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Right? And by the way, I got to tell you, one of the best and most funnest things about preaching in other churches is we go to these other churches where people are like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Or they're like, amen. You know, so when you say the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, there's people out there going, amen. You don't even have to preach. You just got to say the word and say it with gusto, and people are ready to hear it. So he used that scripture, and I borrowed it, and I had to start with gusto, and I warn you, this is a light message with a hopefully a powerful point for you. But I hope that you enjoy it this morning because I wanted it to be light. I wanted it to be something that make us smile. So I have to start by asking, who likes walking around in the dark? Does anybody like walking around in the dark? See, this is the second church I'm asking this question to. Anybody like walking in the dark? You know what? Unanimously, no one does. They didn't like it in there either. I was prepared to tell them who would pray with them after service if they like walking in the dark. And you know this about me, that I am not a fan of walking in the dark. When the weather is changing, which it does, you know, in Missouri a lot, my big toe gets mad. Can you guess why my big toe gets mad? Because when we moved to Peculiar, we discovered that our bathroom door was narrower than all the other doors in the house. And what do we do in the middle of the night, folks? Do we get up to go tinkle a little? And then you walk in this door that you're not used to being narrower than all the other doors, and you kick the door because it's dark. And then I hurt my toe, and my toe is still mad about it 8 years later. Miscalculated. Or we have a lot of folks living in our house right now. There are 8 of us. And it's always kind of embarrassing, like the scripture says, to admit how many dogs are around our house right now. Because we have theirs and ours and hers and his. and a stray dog. So we have 12 dogs that are hanging out at our house right now. One of them's just named 11 because we don't know what to call him. And so the four little dogs stay in our bedroom, okay? And they have the dog door, but every once in a while they decide they're not going to go out. So in the dark, in the middle of the night, guess what sometimes happens? I get up. Oh, why did you guys have to not take your bedtime break? These are the kinds of things that make walking in the dark not fun when we're familiar with our surroundings. And then there's all the places we're not familiar with, right? Do some of you guys like to go camping? I know a couple of you guys like to go camping. Do you guys like to go camping? You don't like to go camping. You do. I'm glad, Jackson. Somebody has to be with me on this. There was a camping trip Mom and Dad took us on when Kelly and I were, I think he was teenager. I'm not sure if I was a teenager yet. But if you've gone camping, if you ever liked to go camping, you know what the loop is, right? And when you're a kid or even a teen, once the camp is set up, you want to go check out the loop, right? You got to see where the playground is. You got to know where the bathrooms are. You got to know where the other kids are so you have somebody to play with. You got to go check out the loop. So we went and we set up our camp, and Kelly and I went to go walk the loop. And that particular time, it was getting a little darker by the time we went out and walked the loop. So we started out in the light, and then it started to get a little dusky. And we're like, you know, we probably ought to get back to the Tolo, to the camp. And we were walking along, and we happened to notice something over here, and we looked, and there was this little dark critter out there that also likes to come out in the dark. And then we noticed that this little dark critter had white stripes down its back. And we took off running. And we did make it back. The skunk didn't get us, but he did chase us. And I remember that from all those years ago, because who hasn't had an experience with those little stinky kitties? And those all happen in the dark, right? They hardly ever come out in the light. So all of these are part of the reasons why I am not a fan of the dark. And I know that we are not the minority. I know most people must not like the dark because we all have flashlights in our pockets now, don't we? We have two things on our phones, by the way. We have flashlights so none of us have to walk in the dark. And what else do we have on there? Everybody has them in their pocket. Cameras. Because if you are walking in the dark, somebody's going to get a picture of it. It's going to be funny. And they're going to have a picture and you're not going to be able to forget it. So in the beginning of time, there was only darkness on earth until God breathed and light became a reality. But ever since that time, ever since there's been light on earth, ever since there's physical light, people have still fumbled around in the dark. I couldn't help but think of all of those. Now there's even this silly commercial. They make fun of all the horror movies, right? Because you always go in the dark room. Always go, turn on the light. You can see where that guy is. In verse 8 of our text, we read, "You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of light." Those who walked in darkness, they used to be stuck there. In ancient Bible times, Paul was speaking to the people of Ephesus, and these were all folks who had grown up in a Gentile culture. They didn't know who God was. They couldn't help walking in the darkness because there was no light. Even though there was physical light, they didn't know God, and so there was no light. And then they heard about God, they heard about Jesus, and they knew light. So Paul wrote to these people, "Now that you have light, walk like it." So this scripture passage, as I was reading, and I told you we had Jeremy and sent us the list of what we might do, and then Charlotte sent us out all of these scriptures that all pastors could pick from that all connected darkness and light. And so I was reading through one Wednesday in my office with all these things going on, and I was reading through all of the scriptures. And I got to the opening line of this scripture that said, "Don't let people deceive you with stupid ideas." And I literally started to chuckle because how many places in the Bible do you see the word stupid? I mean, how often does it just come out and flat out say, "That was a stupid idea," you know? There's two places, by the way, somebody told me. There's a second place in the Bible, in Galatians, where they also say stupid. But it just made me laugh to think that the word stupid should indicate to us it was not an idea we should follow, right? Don't let people deceive you with stupid ideas. And then it says, okay, now this is me asking you another question. And you all have to answer this one. Has anybody in the room never done something stupid? Is there anybody who's never done a stupid thing? See, that's also unanimous. We've all done stupid things. Here's the second half of that question. Sometimes did you know it was stupid when you did it? Sometimes we even knew it when we did it. And so we may read that scripture that says don't get caught up in stupid ideas, and yet sometimes we know it's stupid and we do it anyway. That's the darndest thing. That's us flipping off the light. So in the light of this revelation, knowing that we all do some stupid things sometimes, and we all do foolish things, we all partake in these, we should look at what we're thinking about doing and go, well, duh, I shouldn't be doing this. And so then I was pondering the message, and I was pondering the text, and I was struck by feeling that Paul was telling the people something that seemed really basic, but it was so accurate. And so in the very opening line, when it says, don't let anyone deceive you with stupid ideas, I had this train of thought that wandered over to this other track. And I thought of the comedian Tim Hawkins. You guys have surely heard of Tim Hawkins, right? Because I've been here before, and I know I've talked about Tim Hawkins. He's a comedian who does his acts in churches. He's in Kansas City coming up pretty soon. I think he's from, somebody told me, St. Louis. And he is great. I discovered Tim Hawkins when our kids were all home. Probably Brennan was about 7, Sammy was about 17, and we were just into the beginning of teaching our kids how to drive. You're not there yet. You're getting close. You're not there yet. When you're teaching your kids to drive, there's an awful lot of times when you just want to go, well, duh, at them, you know? I can recall, I'm just warning y'all, reaching over and grabbing the wheel a few times myself when they were driving. I usually got trouble for that. Mom! Yeah, but I didn't really want us to hit that concrete pole. You know, teaching your kids to drive is quite a sentence that we get, and we had 4 to go. So I discovered Tim Hawkins when we were just getting started good on this, and he had this act about things that moms say to their kids that are supposed to be helpful, but they're not very helpful. Can we relate to that? Things that are supposed to be helpful, but they're not really helpful. And so his first story was about how he once lost his wallet. And he was like, hey, Mom, I lost my wallet. And his mom was like, well, it's got to be here somewhere. You know, that's the kind of thing you say that's not really helpful. And I know I'm very guilty of saying to my kids right after, it's got to be here somewhere. I'll say, where was the last time you remember having it? And they go, if I knew that, I'd know where it was. Right? Yeah, so we kind of say things sometimes that are not very helpful. And so he ends up going on to what happens when he gets in his car to go somewhere. And Mom says, what do we say when somebody gets in the car to go somewhere? I heard it, but I barely heard it. Oh, put your seatbelt on. Yeah, that wasn't part of it, but it's getting there. Because you want him to what? Drive safely. Be careful. Okay, so Tim Hawkins' whole joke about this was, and because we say this, especially it's the Midwest, I love you, right? To say drive safely. And we know that. We read Facebook. Tim Hawkins says it's not as... And Mom would be more honest if she said, drive fast and take chances. Cut people off in traffic. Don't be afraid to use your road rage. And I heard that. and see, it's funnier when you have kids still know, isn't it? Yeah, I heard this, and my kids heard it, and they thought it was hilarious. So I was not the popular mom when my kids were young, because they would leave, and I'd say, drive fast and take chances. And they would answer, don't be afraid to use your road rage back at me. But we kind of had to quit using those lines because we raised up Brennan. And he took that a little too serious, that drive fast and take chances. He was very much excited and thought it was hilarious while he was growing up, but he took it a little too seriously. We had to quit. We say, drive safe. Because in the middle of teaching your kids how to drive, you have them go through this little book, you know, that tells what road signs are, tells what to do in different situations in traffic, how far to stay behind the cars in front of you, and all of that. And so you hope that by the time they take their driver's test, that they actually know the stuff in that book, right? And you hope that when you turn them out on the road, they're going to drive like they know what it said. Don't you? That's why. But we still have to say, drive safe, to remind our kids that they need to remember what was in the book. So now you're asking maybe, how on earth does this connect to the message? When we turn these kids out after the written test, we want them to at least attempt to drive according to the rules. We hope that they will recognize the signs. We hope that they will care enough about the other people on the road and themselves that they will pay attention. We expect them to drive like they were taught to be good drivers. Be safe out there. It's a simple notion, but you have to say it anyway. So when Paul wrote this letter to the people of Ephesus, he was talking to a group of people that were spiritually teenagers. They were new to all this. They had grown up as Gentiles and didn't know who Christ were. They were walking in the dark, and he writes to these people who had come to know Jesus and rededicated their lives into a newfound faith. So before chapter 5, there's chapter 4. That's like one of those, well done, that's not very helpful statements, huh? But it's the driver's handbook for the new Christian. In chapter 4, he lists in verses 25 to 32 some very specific examples of how to live like someone who believes. And if you read the driver's education book of the Bible, which is that chapter 4, he says, now that you know not to lie, don't lie to your neighbor. See, these seem pretty simple, right? Now that you know not to lie, don't lie to your neighbor. You might be angry sometimes, but don't let that anger make you sin. Like, don't be punching anybody in the face. Don't be calling them names. Don't let your anger cause you to sin. Don't hold on to that anger. Let go of it the same day, because if you hold on to anger, then while you're just going through the rest of your day, the devil has an opportunity to get a hold of your heart. So he says, don't hold on to your anger. If you used to steal what wasn't yours, stop. Go to work for yourself and use your hands to do good things and share what you have with people who need it. And then he says, don't let foul words come out of your mouth. And he's not even just talking about swearing. He's saying, only say good things about other people. Don't be somebody who drags somebody else's character down. Don't lie about them. Don't call them names. Lift people up with your words. Put aside all bitterness. Don't lose your temper. Put aside anger, shouting, slander, along with every other evil. Be kind and compassionate and forgive one another in the same way that God forgave you. So Paul's message in chapter 4 is the driver's handbook for the new Christian. And in chapter 5, he says, the people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. They know now. They know better. And now that we know better, we ought to walk like we can see where we are going. And like we know the signs, and we know what to do when we get there, and like we can navigate the way. Before you knew better, okay, you spiritually didn't know. You were fumbling around in the darkness. You got hurt sometimes. There were unwelcome surprises waiting you in the dark. But you're not in the darkness anymore. You are in the light. Friends, we don't live in darkness. We have the entire book. We don't even just have the Old Testament scriptures. We don't even just have the Gospels. We have the Old Testament scriptures, and we see what happens when people walk in the dark. We have the Gospels that tell us all about Jesus' light. And then we have all the letters of Paul and all the other saints of the Bible who are laying out the whole story for us, saying, this is the light. You see how to do it. Now that you know it, walk like you've read the book. Make good choices. Because sometimes we do stupid things, and we know that they're stupid when we do them. And those kids of ours that we love so dearly, that we send out on the road and we tell them to do wise things out on the road, sometimes they come home and they tell us something that happened and we just go, really? But we love them anyway, right? We love them so much that we want them to not do that. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, you frustrate your Heavenly Father when you do the stupid stuff. Sometimes we go out and we do stupid stuff and we get on our knees and we cry and we say, God, I did this thing. And God's like, ugh, but I love you anyway. Paul tells us not to have anything to do with those behaviors because we actually do know better. Ephesians 5:9 encourages us to know that if we live like we can see the face of God, good things will happen. If you walk every step of your day imagining the face of God present in every moment of your life, good things will happen because God is on your mind. He's doing good things. So when you see something that's a stupid idea, It says, call it out for what it is. Say to this thing, this is a dumb idea. I'm not going to have anything to do with this. And then stay away from it. Get away and run to the light of God. And I've talked about how inconvenient it is to walk around in physical darkness. But we can't help but encounter spiritual darkness, because there is spiritual darkness in the world. We have to be honest with ourselves that there is some. And we sometimes have to hold ourselves accountable and say, I was part of a dark moment today. And it was a dumb idea, and I shouldn't have done it. Most likely when we see that we're not in line with God, we can feel it. And God asks us to acknowledge it and then let go of it, along with the anger and the bitterness and the grudges and the shame. But we're well into the Lenten season. And Pastor Greg told us on the first week that this is a personal journey, that this is something we have to do on our own. Nobody can walk the journey of Lent for us. They can walk with us. But we're the ones who have to be examining our own heart. And Pastor Jeremy happened to say this also on first week. He said, the purpose of Lent is to look at Jesus and look at ourselves and acknowledge the difference. Figure out how we can become more like Jesus. What do we want to do to look more like Jesus? And then one other thing that was shared by someone else, and it meant something to me, driving into town, listening to K-Love, the radio person, and I don't know their name, and I couldn't remember it word for word, but she said, dig into the hard dirt of your heart this Lenten season. And I thought about that for a little while, the hard dirt of our heart. And I know, a lot of you guys like to garden. A lot of you guys like to plant flowers. When you dig to plant flowers, where do you like to dig? Would you like to dig where you dug last year? You dig that little spot where the dirt is easy to dig out. And there's all the stuff you put in there last year. Usually I have the little marker so I know what kind of flower I killed last year. Sitting there in the dirt to remind me. And I pull all of that out. But I stay kind of in those same little holes each time. So the hard dirt, that's the parts where we haven't dug yet. That's the parts where we, you know, because in Lent we tend to kind of do that. We look in our heart and we pull out the same stuff we pulled out last year. And that's okay. But there's parts we haven't chipped away yet. Little bitty parts that we don't even want to hit with that shovel. And Paul talked about that. He said, these are the things in verse 12 that are embarrassing to talk about. The secrets that we wish no one knew, that we didn't even have to tell God about them. That's the hard soil. So if we don't reveal even that little bit of hard dirt, then it can't become light. But if we do, everything that is exposed to the light becomes light. Every bit that we give to Christ is no longer ours alone, because we've given it to our Savior. And with Christ, there is no darkness. Once the hard dirt is exposed, everything is light. And that is not just good news, friends. That is great news. Because we have light, bright, clean, no longer heavy, no longer embarrassing parts of our heart, because we have let go of all things. And after that, the scripture says, wake up, sleeper, because Christ will shine on you. I wish that all of us would live as if we had read the book of instructions. I pray that we will each take a long look into the nooks and crannies of our heart, where the hard dirt is, and shine Christ's light on that so there is no darkness left. And then I hope that we will take advantage of the freedom that we have gained from that hard work, so that we can live into the joy and rise up and make sure that we are the ones who inspire others to shine lights into the dark parts of their hearts and their world. And then we can rest. We can rest in the light of Christ. And may the work of our mouth then, and the work of our hands, and the joy in our hearts be the light of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you give us your word. I thank you that you inspire us. You give us instructions so that we can know what it looks like to live in the light. Lord, I just ask that you would help each and every one of us to understand that you want us to live like it. Not just today. Not just the next hour, not just the next few minutes, not just the next 24 hours, but Lord, that we would see your face every single place we go, that your spirit would be in front of us, and that we would live like we are looking in your eyes. being mercy, being grace, being love, being authentically light, because you are the light within us. Lord, I just pray all of this.